And obviously in verse 42, the word we're preaching about tonight, faithful or faithfulness. Of course, that's something that we all ought to have, but it's something that we'll all struggle with. Our flesh don't want to be faithful. Sometimes our spirit doesn't even want to be faithful because it's not right or whatever and things like that. So it's something that we ought to battle. But just like anything, the more you do it, it'll become part of you. Again, it's just who you are. It's your makeup. It's what you do, things like that. And of course, the Lord can help you with that because He is faithful. But the word faithfulness basically means to be keeping the faith. And of course, the faith is the death, burial, and resurrection. That's obviously the gospel and things like that. But getting the gospel out, sharing the gospel, receiving the gospel, all of that is the faith. And putting our faith in Christ and so forth. So keeping the faith, that's what Paul said. He had kept the faith. So faithfulness is keeping the faith. It's also being loyal and dependable. These are adjectives about the word faithfulness here. We ought to be loyal. We ought to be dependable, responsible. We ought to be reliable, exact in the truth, honest, firm in our adherence to certain things. And then it goes on to say consistent in our performance of our duties of service. We ought to be steady. So those are some definitions of the word faithfulness. And now we're going to look at it in the Bible. Luke chapter 12, 42 through 48. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward?" And so, of course, God's going to talk about faithfulness and some attributes of a steward that is faithful and things like that. And He says here, "Whom his Lord shall make ruler over the household to give them their portion of meat in due season." So, of course, God is saying here, if you'll be faithful, then I'm going to give you some responsibilities because of it. And so the Bible talks about even a pastor shouldn't be a novice. In other words, I don't know that a 12-year-old should be a pastor, even if he's been in a Christian home his whole life. Because he might know a lot about the Bible. He might know how to be saved. He might even know how to show other people to be saved, things like that. But 12 years is not a lot to just deal with life. And so he would be a novice in helping other people, things like that. And so, same thing here. God's saying, and we're going to see in some of these principles tonight, God wants to give responsibility to somebody He can trust. He wants to give responsibility to somebody that He can depend on, that has proven Himself and proven herself and being faithful. And so that's what it says here. Who then is that faithful and wise steward? I'm looking for some wise people. I'm looking for some faithful people. Why? Because I want to give them ruler and let them be a ruler of the household, and then I'm going to give them their portion of meat in due season. Verse 43. Blessed is that servant. If this person is being faithful and doing what God wants to be, they're going to be blessed. Whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. In other words, that's what the Bible says, watch and to pray. Once you're saved and you're living the Christian life, we're supposed to live like Jesus could come back at any second. Watch and pray. Now, again, he doesn't mean stop what you're doing and just stare up into heaven and say, okay, and not do things. No, he wants to come back and find you so doing. So engrossed in it. So in other words, if you told your kid, go to your bedroom and do your homework, a lot of times they don't jump for joy, they don't do backflips, and they don't go, yes, and they run to their room, and then, hours later, you have to go in there and say, hey, you've been doing homework for hours, let's stop. Usually that's not the way it is. They want to stop as soon as they go in there, if they even want to go in there. But anyway, if that person's been so doing, you find him so doing, that is a faithful person. Verse 44, of a truth say I unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. In other words, this person is proving himself to God. He's faithful. I came back and I found him busy. About doing what he was supposed to do. I didn't catch him sleeping, or I didn't catch him goofing off. I didn't catch him doing something he shouldn't do. I found him so doing. This is a faithful person. Verse 45, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and eat and drink, and to be drunken. And so in other words, he's been faithful for a while, but now he's like, maybe this, I'm getting tired of this. This is getting old hat to me. I'm going to start beating up on some people. I'm going to start getting drunk, things like that. In other words, he's been faithful, but he didn't continue to be faithful. He's going back. He's faltering here a little bit. And so faithfulness is kind of like in it for the long haul. You're going to do it until Jesus comes. Not somebody, and I've seen people like that, you know, they get in church and I'm going to read my Bible throughout this, you know, the rest of this year, and they make it a couple months and then they go several months without reading it. That just happens. And so same thing with church attendance, the same thing with trying to reach the lost and things like that. They get fired up, but God's looking for somebody that says, okay, I'm just going to do that. Day in and day out, I'm going to read my Bible. Day in and day out, I'm going to try to be a witness. Day in and day out, I'm going to try to please God with everything that I do. And I mean, just year after year after year, decade after decade, that is somebody that's going to be faithful. Not a flash in the pan, things like that. Somebody that's going to stick to it. Verse 46, and the Lord of that servant will come in the day when he hath looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder. And will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And so, okay, here's a guy that gave up, quit doing right, quit being faithful. And he's going to get caught too, and he's going to be punished for it. Verse 47, and that servant, which he knew that his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And so again, he's going to get caught doing what he shouldn't have done. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt, got the spanking, all of that, all right? But anyway, we see here that we, on the reverse side, that we should be prepared, not unprepared, but we should be prepared. The Bible talks about being a peculiar people, being a prepared people for good works, and we ought to be faithful in doing that. Verse 48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom the man hath committed much, of him we shall ask the more. And so again, the person that has set out to be faithful for God, and he's received blessing, and he's received blessing, and he's received blessing. To whom much is given, much is required. And so, of course, responsibility is given, and so we're required to follow that responsibility. So the Lord, when he sees us being faithful, he's going to give us things. Or he's going to catch us messing up and we're going to get punished for it. So we see here faithfulness. Where is that? Or who is that faithful, wise steward? I'll read you two, three more verses. You don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says this, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So in other words, a steward, somebody that's responsible for certain things, it's just required. Again, the low man on the totem pole, the newbie, the novice at work, things like that, they're not going to have a lot of responsibilities because they're not going to know the ins and outs and all the details, things like that. But the person that's been there time after time after time, year after year after year, and they know the system, they know what's going on, things like that, that person might be given some requirements. But moreover, it's required for a steward that a man be found faithful. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says this, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. And so again, you'll have people, in other words, giving you their resume 24/7, and they just, that's pretty much what they do. They like to hear themselves talk about themselves more than they actually do the job. The person that's not running off at the mouth and doing the job, that's the one that's going to be blessed. That's the one that's going to be promoted, things like that. So it says here, most men will proclaim everyone their own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? So we ought to desire to be faithful. Then Proverbs 25:19, last verse we'll read, and then we'll get into the outline. Verse 19 of Proverbs 25 says this, confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble. So at the workplace, at the hospital, out on the job site, things like that, when there's trouble, and that novice looks at you like a calf looking at a new gate, what do we do now? In other words, they haven't experienced these. You know, things that pop up. They haven't had to troubleshoot. They haven't had to overcome things like that. So they freak out a little bit. But a guy that's been there or a lady that's been there and they've done that job time and time and time again and that trouble pops up, oh, I've seen this 1,000 times. No big deal. They're not panicking. They're not freaking out. They're not running. They're just, okay, just got to do this, 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 and we'll fix the problem. So that's what it's talking about. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble. We'll see what the Bible says. It's like a broken tooth. Ugh. Usually when you have a broken tooth, that means nerves are exposed. And those of you that's ever had this, or you're cringing right now. You're like, because those nerves, they just hurt and things like that. So obviously if you're trusting a novice or somebody that's never done the job or somebody that, you know, they might show up, they might not, trying to trust them in that time of trouble, it's like a broken tooth. Then it says also a foot out of joint. If anybody's ever twisted their ankle or had their ankle go out of joint, it's painful. It's not dependable, things like that. So these verses are talking about an unfaithful person. It just grates on you. It hurts. But we see that God is faithful. Now, God is looking for that faithful steward. He's looking for that faithful servant. He's looking for that person that He can count on, depend on. I want to bless them. I want to even give them more. And then the more I give them, the more I'm going to want back from them, things like that. Then He says here, I'm looking for that faithful servant. And that person that is not faithful, it's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. We're going to read a couple verses about God. And God is a do as I say, not a do as I say God, but He is a do as I do God. So He's not telling us to be faithful, and He's not going to be faithful. You better be faithful and you do what I need you to do, and I'll just get around to taking care of you. No, He's like, I've got your back. I'll be faithful doing my part, but I want you to be faithful doing your part. I'm going to read you a couple verses. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, it says this, know therefore. In other words, you can put it in there. Put it in the bank account. Put it in your brain. Know this. Know therefore that the Lord, thy God, He is God. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. The Alpha and the Omega. Jesus being God. He is God. And then it says here, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keepeth His commandments to those thousands of generations. So in other words, God says right here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, that He's a faithful God. In other words, whatever He says He'll do, He'll do it. Wherever He says He'll be there. Whatever He says that I will do, after this world is destroyed and I'll create a new heaven and a new earth and you'll be with me, you can count on it. He's faithful. He is a faithful God. He'll do what He said. If He says I'll supply all your need, He'll supply all your need. If He says I'll comfort you when you need to be comforted, He'll be there to comfort you. If He says I'll protect you, I'll keep you, I'll give you a way of escape. All the things that God says that He'll do in the Bible, you can count on it. He's faithful. You're not going to like, I wonder if God's going to come through this time. I need this prayer answered, but should I go to God? Because sometimes He's asleep. Should I go to God? Because sometimes, I get the answer machine or I get the voicemail. No, God is there every time. So God is faithful. Let's listen to this one. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. It says this. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. All right, because obviously I know I deserve to be consumed. I know I've messed up enough to be taken out. It says here, because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And so just like He's promised that He will be our God, He will be our Savior, He will be our prayer answerer, He will be our need meter, He will be our comforter, He will do all those things. And then it says here, even though when we goof, when we mess up, we'll not be consumed. Why? Because His mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. So if you messed up yesterday, even if you messed up today, if you're still breathing, great is His faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. Tomorrow's a new day. And again, that's the way God does. It's hard for us. I can remember what I did 4 days ago and things like that, especially if it was dumb and it shouldn't have been done. The devil will remind you of it. But God says if we confess it, He's faithful and just to forgive us. And great is His faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. Let's look at another one. 1 John 1:9. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So He'll keep His promises. His compassions are new every morning. His forgiveness is new every morning. And we can ask Him for it. And I'm going to read one more about God and His faithfulness. It's found in 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says this. There is no temptation taken you, but is common to man. So in other words, the temptations that we face daily, hourly, in every minute, it's just going to happen. Why? Because we're all human. We're going to face temptation. But then the verse says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with that temptation or the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it and get away from it. So God is faithful. He knows you're going to have a temptation, but He's giving you a way out of it every time. He won't fall asleep on that. He will not lie about that. He's like, look, you're going to face temptation, but when you do, I'll be faithful. I'll be right here. I'll give you the way out. I'll give you the way of escape. So we're going to look at a few things here about faithfulness. We saw that we're commanded. God's looking for that faithful servant that He can bless, that He can use, He can find so doing. And then He says, look, I'll be there. My promises are faithful. My compassions, my forgiveness, my way out of temptation, I'll be faithful. You can count on me. But there's a few things here. What are we are to be good stewards? We are to be good stewards. First of all, we're looking at an outline here. We are supposed to be good stewards of our Christian life and our growth. And I thought about having the kids sing this song tonight, but my wife's in the nursery, and I think they would freak out if she wasn't singing it with them. All right? But y'all know your shrink and grow song? Y'all want to come do it real quick? But anyway, obviously, neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll what? Shrink, shrink, shrink. But if you read your Bible and pray every day, you'll do what? Grow, grow, grow. All right, so we're supposed to be faithful in that. And again, it's just plain and simple. Just like 2 plus 2 is 4 every time. If you put the 2 on this side and this 2 and you swap the 2s, it's still 4 every time. God is faithful. If you'll read your Bible and pray every day, you'll grow, grow, grow. But if you neglect your Bible and forget to pray, you're going to shrink, shrink, shrink. And so we see that we're supposed to be good stewards of our Christian life and our growth. Obviously, we are saved. And God's like, okay, I'm giving you your Christian life to be responsible for. You're supposed to steward over that, be faithful in taking care of it. And read your Bible every day. Pray every day and grow. It's your responsibility. Second thing He wants us to be a good steward of is our money. Our money. Of course, we're supposed to be good stewards of our money. And I think you're supposed to be good stewards of your money, I would say, spiritually speaking. Your tithe, your offerings, things like that. The Bible just says it, it's plain as day. You give 10% to God, you give offerings, whether it be missionaries or to vision or to other things that we've helped out in the past, you give those things. And God will bless you for it. But it also, you ought to be good stewards of your money in your home. There's a lot of families out there today, they're struggling. And if they would just stop sinning, it'd be like getting a huge raise. I don't know if you've ever seen how much cigarettes are or alcohol is. Or going and doing things that you shouldn't do and watch things you shouldn't watch. If they would just stop sinning, it would be like, boom, they got a huge raise. And they just go through life struggling. That's not being a good steward of our money. We ought to obviously pay our bills, be honest, be a good steward in that area. We ought to provide for our families, take care of them, have food, shelter, clothing, all that stuff. We're supposed to be good stewards of that in our lives. Thirdly, we're supposed to be good stewards of our time. Our time. And you always hear, especially those of you that taught in, or teach in school, things like that, did you get your homework done? I didn't have enough time. All right? No, you had 24 hours yesterday all day long just like I did. And just like the student beside you, just like the student behind you. You did not appropriate your time wisely, but you had enough time. And same thing with us. Obviously, the more we do in our life, the busier we get. And we're trying to cram a lot of things in there, but be a good steward of our time. Why? Because the Bible says we're going to give an account for that. We're going to give an account for every idle word that comes out of our mouth, for every second of every minute, of every hour, of every day, and so forth. We're going to give an account of that since we've been saved. So we ought to be a good steward of our time. Now, I'm going to give an example. Yesterday, obviously, there was a lot of football games going on. And there were some successful and some not so successful. But the plan was to be successful. And again, to bring faithfulness into it, every one of those positions in the football, you know, back in the day, I knew some guys that they just wanted to make the football team so that they could wear a jersey on Friday to school. And so they looked like the part. In other words, and then at the end of that football game Friday night, that jersey looked just like it did during the day Friday at school. Why? Because they never made it to the football field. Okay, they didn't get dirty, they didn't get sweaty, they didn't get it ripped, things like that. But they made the team, but they weren't being faithful. And so that's what yesterday, you know, there were some guys that got some high fives, lifted up in the airs, they did a little jig over there because they scored a touchdown. All right, but they would not have scored that touchdown if everybody else on that field hadn't done what they were supposed to do. And again, a good running back or a good quarterback, they love those linemen. And I could, you know, if Brother Steve and Brother Andy were here tonight, I could show this point. I could get behind them. All right. And that would be a blessing to a quarterback to have two guys that big. And that's what they have, five or six guys that big. And the bigger they are, the safer you are. And the bigger they are, the bigger hole you've got to run through, and so forth. But if, you know, let's say, for instance, that quarterback, he's getting the big head. You know, I'm the creme de la creme of this team. I'm the captain. I'm the quarterback. I get all the accolades. Da, 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 da. If, you know, 375 here and 375 here and 400 there and 425 there decide to take off a play, Mr. 155 is going to get crushed. Why? Because those guys aren't going to block for him. They're going to stand up and say, "Here you go. He thinks he's the whole team. Show him he's not." And so forth. A lot of people, they get that part. But everybody, it takes everybody. And so, you know, I was taught this. And I played some wide receiver before. And a wide receiver, if he's not going to get the ball, he's not going to run fast. And so the defense could always tell if the guy just left the line, like, he's not getting it. why? Because, you know, he's not running fast. But if he took off, like, they're going to throw it to him. Go cover him. That was high school level. In college level, they struggle with that. But pros, it looks like you got to make them think you're getting it. You're doing your part. You're pulling the defense over there. And again, you watch all the X's and the O's and things like that and how they'll do all this kind of stuff if everybody doesn't do their job. For instance, I'll give you just one little quick play. If I was going to throw it to this guy over here, he's going to go long. All right, I will come back here. I'm going to actually fake the handoff to the running back. And what does that do? That makes the defense think the running back's going to get it and go there. So they start looking this way. All right, and so then I fake the handoff and I come back here. I'm still not going to be looking at this guy. I'm going to be looking over here. So all the defense is going to think he's throwing it that way. And then you just turn, boom. And that's why when they make it look right, it's easy to score because you did your job. But if that running back said, "I'm not even going to act like I'm going to get the ball because I'm not," doesn't pull the defense off. I'm not going to run out here fast. Everybody's going to do their part. And when everybody does their part, it looks amazing. So same thing with God's work. Everybody's got to do their part. Everybody's got to be faithful. And he's looking for that person. So every position is important. When one player slacks off, the whole team is going to be non-successful. When a player slacks off, often somebody gets hurt. When everyone does their part, it will be very successful and it'll look that way. And so when a lot of teams, when there's, I guess, incentives, those are, if you don't give up a sack, okay, everybody's going to get this much money. And a quarterback is excited about that when the coach tells the lineman that. I'm going to give, if there's no sacks given in this game, everybody's going to get 50 extra bucks. The quarterback's saying, "Yes, please help them, give that to them." Why? There's incentive. So that's what God's saying here. If everybody in the church will do their part to be faithful, and God's going to bless, and God's going to give the increase and things like that. So he's looking for faithfulness. So that was all introduction. Here's the 3 points of my sermon. 3 points. Faithfulness is a positive, not a negative. Faithfulness is a positive, not a negative. So in other words, when you say faithfulness is a positive, being faithful is not just being unfaithful. So a lot of times we think, okay, I'm being faithful because I'm not being unfaithful. In other words, I was at church or I was at football practice. I wasn't being unfaithful. I didn't skip church. I didn't skip practice. But you got to be doing what you're supposed to be positively there to be the faithful. It's not just being there. Just like we talked about this morning, people are in church, but a lot of times they're not in Christ. People are singing, but they don't have a song in their heart. Same thing here. Faithfulness is not just being unfaithful. Faithfulness is actually being positive, doing something faithful. And so we see faithfulness is not merely the absence of negative acts, but it's the constant practice of positive acts. I'm going to say that again. Faithfulness is not merely the absence of negative acts, but it's also the constant, so over and over and over, practice of positive acts. So in other words, yes, I'm a Christian because I'm saved, but am I doing some positive acts? That's being faithful. I'm not just not drinking, or I'm not just not cursing, or I'm not just not, you know, taking drugs. That's all things that a Christian shouldn't do. But I'm going to be a faithful Christian. So not only am I not going to, take drugs, I'm going to read my Bible. If I'm not actually going to be drinking alcohol, I'm going to go to soul winning. In other words, I'm doing positive acts. So that's what faithfulness is. It's not just the mere absence of these negative acts. It's all these positive acts. So same thing with a Christian. Same thing with a husband. Obviously, a husband ought not to be unfaithful. But we ought to love our wife as Christ loved the church, is what the Bible says. So that's, yes, there's not the negative acts, but there's the positive acts of saying, I love you, or giving her a hug, or a kiss, and things like that. So the positive acts. So we see being a Christian is not just, being a faithful Christian is not just the negatives, it's actually doing some of the positives. Not being an unfaithful husband, but be a positive, a faithful husband. Same thing with a mom or a dad. When we get that position given by God, it ought not to be, just not, being mean to our kid, actually being nice to our kid. Not just, letting school or whatever else raise them. No, I'm going to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So not just the negatives, but the positives. So we see here, faithfulness is a positive act, not just a negative act. Same thing with an employee. An employee, yes, they're there. They're punching in, punching out, and they're not skipping work. They're not lying on their time card, but they're actually doing something positive. They're doing something to enhance or increase the company. So we see here, faithfulness is not just the lack of negatives, but it's the adding of the positive. So faithfulness must be developed. Faithfulness must be developed. Roman number one is this. Faithfulness is a matter of practice. Faithfulness is a matter of practice. And so when I look in the Bible and the Bible says, where's that servant or that steward that can be found faithful? I want to say, hey, I will be. Sign me up right there. I will be that way. And again, I've always tried to be that way. I gave 110% in whatever I did, with the exception of school, sometimes, things like that. But anything that was fun, I was 110%. I'm just kidding. But it was a matter of practice. Any sport that I played, they required practice. Well, I just want to wear the uniform. No. You have to wear the uniform and come practice. I want to be good. Well, you need to practice. Well, I want to win. Well, you need to practice. So again, it's all about it. Faithfulness is a matter of practice. So you have to practice being faithful. So tomorrow morning, if it's been a while since you've read your Bible every day, say, I want to practice being a good Christian. I'm going to read my Bible tomorrow morning. Then the next morning, say, hey, I read it yesterday, so I'm going to do that again. And you practice, and you practice, and you practice. So when you're faced with a situation, a faithful Christian will think of a Bible principle, think of some Bible advice that they've been given and how to respond. And again, it won't be, well, my flesh wants to get mad. My flesh wants to pitch a fit. My flesh wants to retaliate. But I'm going to practice faithfulness. I'm going to do what the Bible said. I'm going to do what God would want me to do. I'm going to do what a Christian does. So faithfulness is a matter of practice. A faithful man disciplines himself to do that what he should do, not what he wants to do sometimes. Again, somebody speeds around you, your flesh wants to speed back around them. Somebody calls you a name, you want to call them a meaner name. Somebody does something to you, that's just our flesh. We want to retaliate. But we have to, just like we saw this morning, the Bible says, vengeance of mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You just give that to me. Alexander the coppersmith has done me evil, is what Paul said. But what I'm going to do is forget it, go out doing my business for God, let God take care of Alexander. So we have to practice. It's a matter of practice, being faithful. It involves saying yes to what the Bible says to do and no to what the Bible says not to do. And so, again, if you've ever been in the military or if you've ever been on a sports team, your coach or your drill instructor or your boss will tell you to say some certain things and so forth. Sir, yes, sir. It was military and so forth. But the Bible says here, if you want to be faithful, you got to practice saying yes. Will you be at church? Yes. Will you always respond in the Christian spirit? Yes. Will you always, look and act and talk and sound and smell like a Christian? Yes. We ought to just practice saying yes, 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 yes. I will do that. All right. Then we ought to practice saying no. Will you respond in a negative way? No. Will you act like the world? No. Will you talk like the world? No. Will you go to where the worldly people go? No. You practice. Being faithful is a matter of practice. And so, again, the more you do it, the better you get at it. The person that can catch those one-handed touchdowns like we saw on ESPN yesterday, they practiced it. over and over and over. And most coaches, even in college today, say, use two hands, all right? But they like it when they use the one if they have to and so forth, things like that. But they practice it over and over and over. And the person that's good with their timing and with their routes and with all their abilities, they practice it and practice it. So if we want to be faithful, just like obviously Steph Curry, I believe, is the best three-point shooter in the NBA right now, I think he practices a few times. And he could do it in his sleep. So same thing. A Christian ought to be faithful. We ought to be known for faithful. So what is it? It's a matter of practice. I'm going to practice being there. I'm going to practice doing right. I'm going to practice saying yes to what the Bible says to do. Practice saying no. Number two, not only is faithfulness a matter of practice, it's a matter of principle. A matter of principle. Our loyalties should be to the principles, not to certain things. There's a lot of people in Christianity today, and I'm going to say some things here that might not sound right, but you'll see at the end. We ought to be faithful to God, to the Bible, and not institutions. For instance, I went to a Bible college when I was 18 years old. It was a good Bible college back then. I learned a lot. There were some faithful teachers there. There was some good examples there. Obviously, I met my wife there. I got to serve the Lord there. There was a lot of good things about it. But I would not fight you for my Bible college. I would not argue with you that my Bible college was the best, things like that. Why? Because I don't need to be faithful to institutions. Again, yeah, you pick a favorite team and you're loyal to your team, your colors and your slogans and your sayings and your cheers and things like that. That's fine. But again, I'm not going to choose my Bible college over the Bible. I'm not going to choose my Bible college over God. Why? Because I feel like they've left the Bible. So my loyalty and faithfulness is to the Word of God. And I believe they've changed a lot of things that they had when I was there. So I'm not going to be loyal to institutions. So this is talking about principles. Faithfulness is a matter of principles. In other words, I'm not going to be, I guess, more loyal to people than I am to God. In other words, hey, we've been best friends since kindergarten. And I'm an atheist. So I'm not going to be loyal to my blood brother, our codes and our handshakes and things like that, and forget about God. No, I'm supposed to be faithful to God. It's about a matter of principle. And if my friend says, you got to choose me or God, I'm choosing God. Sorry. It's a matter of principle. Same thing here. Our school. And here's one. And this is one I said it was going to sound weird. I'm going to be faithful to God and the Bible over any church. Why? The church that I went to as a teenager, it changed. And it said, okay, now you can read from this Bible. Now you can sing this type of songs. Now you can dress this way. Now you can participate in this. But the Bible says the opposite. So I'm going to be loyal to the book and to my Heavenly Father over even a church. Because if the church changes, doctrinally, we don't have to go soul winning anymore. People, God created some for heaven, some for hell. That's it. We don't have to go soul winning. I'm going to be loyal to the book. I'm going to be loyal to what God says. Not even a church. Businesses, same thing. Friends, anything that changes its principles, I'm going to remain the same. I'm going to have biblical principles. Remain, that's the word that's right in there with faithful. So number one was faithfulness is a matter of practice. Number two, faithfulness is a matter of principle. Principle. Number three, faithfulness is a matter of priority. Priority. Conforming to the proper standard. That's what priority means. Conforming to the proper standards. How do we do that? By practice. How do we do that? By following those principles. And how do we do that? By priority, putting it first. The Bible says in Colossians 1:18 that He might have preeminence. God wants to be first. God wants us to be faithful to Him more than we are to anybody, any institution, anything. Be principled to that. That's priority. We put God first. A faithful man can be counted on. A faithful man will be on time. A faithful man will keep his commitments. A faithful man will keep his word, even if it hurts. Even if it hurts. And we've got some examples of that in the Bible. The one man said, God, if you'll do this for me, first thing that walks through that door, I'll sacrifice it unto you. He was thinking cat, goat, all right, dog. Lo and behold, his daughter walks through the door. But he'd opened his mouth. He'd made a vow. So again, a faithful man a lot of times, and again, that's why you ought to be careful what you say. The Bible says it's better not to make a vow than make a vow and break it. And so things like that. So prioritize. So a faithful man can be counted on. A faithful man will be on time. A faithful man will keep his word even if it hurts. I'm going to read you a couple of verses here in the conclusion. But the Bible says in Psalm 15:1-4, listen to what this says. It says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? So it's talking about kind of like that. Who will be a good steward? Who will be a faithful steward? Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly. Talking about faithful men here. They walketh uprightly. Who worketh righteousness? Who speaketh the truth in his heart? He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor do evil with his neighbor, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor. So he's talking about a faithful person here. This is who's going to be able to come into the tabernacle and abide in there. That they don't do all this stuff. They live right. They don't do the negative things. Number four says this, in whose eyes a vile person condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. So here's a faithful man. I'm going to be faithful to God even if it hurts. And I'm going to give an example here in just a minute. Especially a teenage girl might understand this. And I don't see any of those in here. But anyway, you'll get what I'm saying. We got to do right even if it hurts. Even if it hurts. And that's what that faithful man. And then Daniel 6:4. Listen to what Daniel 6:4 says. It says here, and the presidents and the princes, so the uppity ups, the ones that had the power, they were talking about Daniel, and they sought to find occasion against Daniel, just like we saw the scorners and the scribes and the Pharisees. They got mad at Jesus this morning in that sermon. Here's some guys, they were looking to find something against Daniel concerning the kingdom, and listen to what it says. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. So obviously we know Daniel was faithful. And again, this is a faithful person. So in other words, if a person wanted to find fault in them, could they? I've been looking. I've been watching. I've been listening. And I can't find any fault with this guy. That's why the Bible says if our ways please the Lord, He'll make even our enemies be at peace with us. So in other words, they're looking for us. They're a Christian and I'm going to watch them. I'm going to find out they're not as good as they think they are. They're not as righteous and things like that. And so they start looking. But if we're practicing faithfulness and we're living by principle of faithfulness and we're prioritizing our faithfulness, when they start looking, they're not going to be able to find anything. Daniel always did the right thing. He always said the right thing. And even when he was told, don't you pray anymore. No, I'm going to go back to the first. I'm going to be faithful to God, not these presidents and these priests. And so 3 times a day, he went, opened up his window and started praying. He did right. He didn't change. He practiced. He had principles. He prioritized. And we see here that they're like, okay, we're going to find something wrong with this guy. And they couldn't. And so at work, everybody knows that you're a Christian. If they say, all right, we're going to find a way to fire him or her. We're going to find a way to get them written up. But you're just always doing right. You're always responding the right way. And they're like, it frustrates them. We can't find anything wrong with this person. What I think that was said about Jesus. Crucify him. Why? We can't find anything wrong that he's done. He's faithful. Daniel, throw him in the den of lions. Why? We can't find any fault. We can just go on through the Bible. Why? Because they practiced faithfulness. They had principles of faithfulness. And they prioritized their faithfulness. The last one we'll read is found in Luke. Luke, let me go there to Luke. Luke 16:1-2. And it says this, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. Okay, and of course we started out with a steward. Where's that steward that can be found faithful? Here's this rich man. He had somebody that he put in charge of something. And it says, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Verse 2, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear of thee. Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer a steward. And it goes on to say how he, you know, again, the boss didn't believe it. He called him in. And he said, you've been working for me for this many years. You've never stole. You've never been late. You've never, you know, disappointed me. You never. And somebody said that you did this and this and this. Okay, tell me about it. So if we are faithful and we get called in and maybe we get lied about, our testimony of faithfulness should speak for itself. But then if we have dotted our I's and crossed our T's, kind of like, you know, a cop comes and asks you, where were you at last night at 11:05? And you say, well, I was sleeping. All right. Can anybody verify that? Yeah, my wife, she was sleeping right over there. And they might ask her, of course, they say that don't go give you much weight because she would lie for you, things like that. But if they can verify your presence. So that's what he's saying. He was giving him an opportunity to stand up for himself. But he was basically saying, my testimony, my faithfulness speaks for itself. I didn't do that. I don't know where they got that information from and things like that. So we ought to, how can we stand there one day when Jesus says, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Why? Because he knows. He keeps a tally on what we do and things like that. So we see, we ought to always do the right thing. And the illustration I was going to give a while ago is always do the right thing, even if it hurts. Always do the right thing, even if it hurts. And some of you ladies, you might can identify with this. Let's say there was a teenage young lady, and she was asked to babysit on Friday night. And all of you ladies probably have been there, done that, got a T-shirt. All right. But let's say she was asked by somebody that, you know, whether she liked the kids or not, that's irrelevant. But will you watch our kids Friday night? Sure. I will be glad to. Then the boy of her dreams, Mr. Hunky Hunkerton, all right, that's got it all going on. Mr. Muscles upon Muscles, Mr. Good Looking, Mr. Debonair, all that stuff. Ask her out for a date Friday. What did she do? All right, you always got to do the right thing. And so faithfulness, a good steward would have said, I'm sorry, I've already got a commitment Friday to watch kids. But that goes against every fiber of our being. I want to go out with him. I like him. I want him to like me. If I say no, he's going to not ask me again. Da, 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 da. It just starts going off. But how in the world could she say, no, I've already got a pre-engagement. I've got to watch some kids. Practicing faithfulness. Having faithfulness principles. And making a priority of doing the right thing. If you said you would do it, you opened your mouth. Always do the right thing. Even if it's, I've wanted him to ask me so many times. But I'm going to tell him, no, I've already said I would do something else. Amen? So, practice faithfulness. The Lord's looking for good stewards to bless and to shine upon, smile upon. So I want him to bless me. I want those his favor on me. I want those smiles on me. The way I can get it, practice faithfulness. Faithfulness of principle and faithfulness of priority. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's all stand. We'll have a short invitation. It's up to you. You got to practice faithfulness. God's looking for those faithful stewards. He says, who? Where? Where are they? Right here's one. Well, there's Daniel. There's one. There's Jesus. There's one. There's Paul. There's one. I want my name in that list. Altar's open if you need to come pray.